Well, let's go ahead and this is part two. And so let's stand together and read our kind of our key scripture that we used last week from Proverbs again. If you would stand with me and we'll read the word from Proverbs chapter four. Here we go. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. All right, you may be seated. Well, I'm excited this morning to dig into this again. And the truth is that hearing God's voice and hearing from Him, listening to Him is such a huge topic that it's kind of, we can barely scratch the surface, right? Whenever there's books and books and books and books written on a topic, then there's just kind of no way, to really get through it all, of course, and 20 different messages, let alone two or whatever. And so I'm going to try to hit kind of some highlights of the practicality today a little bit. And it's not so much an idea of having enough to say, it's knowing when to stop and all those things. So I'm going to try to be careful with that. And as we dig into this morning, this topic has just kind of messed with me in a beautiful way. I sat this morning preparing and just cried. Just wept in the presence of God, just saying, God, deal with me and do what you want to do in me. And it's just so beautiful. We really do need to hear His voice. It is life, to us. I'm so grateful for our God, our amazing God, our supernatural, God. Well, speaking of super, this is kind of an interesting thing. The superhero genre has taken, the planet by force, over the last decade or so. Marvel, maybe especially, has kind of really done crazy things. And, I don't know if you're not familiar with what's kind of happened, just kind of real quickly, Avengers Endgame came out here a few weeks ago, right? And it took every record and either doubled it or cut it in half. It doubled, the ticket sales, all that stuff. Everything that's doublable, it doubled. And anything that would be cut in half, like it took half the time to get to whatever mark. And it took half the time to whatever, all that stuff. It just broke every record. And so a lot of what people are talking about is, why is the superhero genre such a big deal in the world today? Because it's massive. It's unbelievable. And people are going, man, you know, Marvel can do whatever they want. They don't have to do anything really that spectacular. And people go and they watch it. This is crazy. They're remaking, rehashing this stuff and all that. And one of the things they talk about, there's kind of two key things. One is that is the graphics. What they're doing with graphics now, of course, animation and what's computer generated is profound. All right. So check this clip out from 1953. This is preview from 1953 Adventures of Superman. 1953. Yes, they had TVs and everything. Check out this preview. This is what it was all about.
Don't miss the next thrill-packed episode in the Amazing Adventures of Superman. Join with a man of steel as he wages war against the forces of evil. Thrilling adventure, intense excitement, pounding action, and spine-tingling mystery. You will find them all in the next startling episode of the Adventures of Superman.
That's one of my favorites right there at the end. This guy is going to take him out with a spear, and he just stands there and just kind of folds on his foam padding suit there kind of thing and everything. It's unbelievable, you know, those graphics back then. And it's this thrilling adventure and spine-tingling mystery, all right? And people are seeing that, just is unbelievable, you know, and he's flying, and he flies through space, and he's blowing up stars on his fists and all that stuff. You saw it and everything. And those of you that haven't seen that before, maybe you're younger, you're kind of going, wow, people actually viewed that stuff. They sacrificed moments of their lives to watch that. That is viewable. That was considered viewable. And so one of the big reasons that this is such a big deal is because now when you go watch this stuff in a theater or on your 4K TV or whatever it might be and everything, it's just incredible. The detail and what they've done to do it. You know, they roll through the credits at the end and there's this list of 1,000 animators that make all this stuff happen and everything. It's unbelievable what it takes. So they say a lot of it is that people are going, this is absolutely incredible stuff. And in fact, some older people, I wouldn't dare to say how old is anymore. I've stopped doing that because I'm starting to lump myself into the categories here and there. And so I stopped doing that. But anyway, some older people are going, you know, this is absolutely incredible. What we used to have to imagine happening, now we can view, and it just looks like absolute reality. This is absolutely incredible stuff. All right. And so we've got that more current picture, I think. We'll show you here. Yeah. So here's Superman. And there isn't this big foam. He's not wearing a memory foam mattress pad under his suit there to kind of cover up, the chunky there and everything. And our superheroes now are ripped, and they're wearing these suits that actually draw attention to their waist and everything instead of trying to distract from whatever. They're not wearing their underwear on the outside of their suit anymore, which is a good thing. Good thing as well. All right, and. Really grateful for that. Not sure how that happened and why that was cool, but it was a little bit. So, got that. Hallelujah. All right. So that's number one. And then the second is this. And this is saying that it's a word that you don't see a ton of, but it's going to make a lot of sense, I think. And that is relatability. Relatability. They say this has actually been the key in theater and drama, whatever, forever, is relatability. We have to be able to buy into the story, okay? If you look at the superheroes and a lot of what we've seen over the last 10 years, with the exception of a few people like Thor, okay, most of them became superheroes because of some scientific accident, some bug bite, or some suit that they were able to build because they were trillionaires with technology and everything, right? Okay. So stuff happens and someone becomes a superhero. And so relatability is this big part of it. I can buy into that. Like, the guy next door might be a superhero. In fact, I might be. I was reading this article by this guy, and he and his friends kind of made up these magic potions and stuff and drank them when they were kids, hoping they were going to turn into superheroes. And he goes, we're just glad we didn't die, all right? But watching this stuff and everything, we thought maybe this is how this was going to work, and maybe we could be superheroes too. And so the relatability is this big, huge deal for all of this, all right? And we understand that. You know, sometimes we don't necessarily recognize that. We wouldn't say that we'd maybe like to be Iron Man or something like that, or, not many ladies here would say, you know, it'd be really neat to be Wonder Woman or whatever, you know, and we don't talk about that. Really, but most of us understand and we recognize that most men would like to be more significant, matter a little more, do a little more. Most women would like to matter a little more, maybe be a princess, all right? Part of what was so enamoring about what happened over in England with royalty is we had two American young ladies that married into the family over there and became royalty. It's like, it could happen to you. It could happen to me, you know? And so we're going, oh my gosh, you know, the dreams really can come true. And that's a big part of the whole thing. Relatability, all right? And this is nothing new because written inside of us someplace, in Ecclesiastes 4 talks about this, God has set eternity in the heart of man. We really ultimately are not satisfied with just being natural. We're not. As human beings, as cultures, this has been happening for thousands of years. We want to be more than we are. And the second part of this is we want to connect with something greater, someone greater than we really are. And so when we look at talk, and we're talking about hearing the voice of God and what it means to really connect with Him, it really touches on these two incredibly deep longings inside every one of us, all right? And that is to be more than we are, to be more than just natural, and to connect with something outside of ourselves, someone greater than ourselves. And we have a world enamored with that, spending billions of dollars to scratch that itch. And Hollywood gets it, we get it as a culture and everything, but God has put that inside of us. And His Word talks about this over and over again, and this it's His heart for us. In John 14, we have God recording this for us so we can understand that He understands our heart and what's important to us. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do." Okay, this is coming from Jesus, who's doing these incredible things in Scripture, middle of all of this in the New Testament, writing history, rewriting history, and He's telling His disciples that whoever believes in Him is going to do greater things than He has done. And greater works than these will He do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. And so there is a little teaser from God saying, you want to tap into something greater? Do you want to do something greater? Do you want to do something that matters? Do you want to step beyond the ordinary and the mundane life and everything? Then tap into what it is that I have for you. And we need to hear the voice of God in order to even begin to understand that and tap into that. And so that's part of what we're going to be talking about this morning and really kind of the practical ways to do that. We tried to lay a little bit of the framework last week for kind of the need for it and God's heart for it. And so today we're just going to kind of blitz through these nine kind of practicals, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a heads up. The first and the last one are the same because they're the most important, and this whole thing has messed with me in a huge way, and so I'm just going to share with you what God's been doing in me. So some practical things about hearing from God and hearing His voice. All right, number one, remember the point. Remember the point. Remember the point of this whole thing, and that is relationship with God. The whole point of all this is relationship with God. And I think He wants to first and foremost deal with our motives. Sometimes we're thinking, hey, I could be cool if I could hear God's voice. We're like Simon the Sorcerer. Can I pay for that? I'd be a really cool gangster spirit dude, something, if I could have access to that or whatever. Can I do that? And He's trying to make sure that we understand our motives need to be right. Okay, number one, remember the point. The point is relationship with God. Another one of my favorite passages of Scripture, Hosea 6, 1 through 3. This is from the New Living. And here's the word. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces. Now He will heal us. He has injured us. Now He will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, He will restore us so we may live in His presence. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. There's a song Shane and Shane wrote, and they just kind of repeat that first part of verse 3 a few times, and you just kind of let it just soak into you. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Oh, that we might know the Lord. Let us press on to know Him. Let us press on to know Him. It is the beginning and the end. It is the end game of hearing His voice, is to know Him. At the very beginning, the very end, remember the point is relationship with God. Okay, and then moving through these practical second, it's important that we remember that we're human. Remember that we're human. In the middle of talking about superhero and superhuman sort of stuff, we got to remember that we are human. This is a little bit of this kind of double thing we'll talk about here in a minute. But 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10 tells us this. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect is come, the partial will pass away. It's important that we understand, the Scripture tells us this, that we are going to hear, we're going to prophesy, we're going to understand in part. Okay? So anyone who says they have 100% the word of the Lord, the dispensation, direct dispensation from God or whatever, all right, we should question that. All right. You really should pause and question that. I'm tapped in 100% to the will of God and the voice of God. And you just come to me and I'll share that with you. All right. If someone's saying that, I think it's probably good to give that pause. All right. And maybe even run the other direction. We know in part. We prophesy in part. And that's very evident to us if we're honest and we look around us and everything. I think sometimes we get hung up or going, man, I can't hear God 100% correctly. Hello. That's Bible. You're a biblical Christian. All right. And we kind of freak out about that, you know, oh man, if I get to, and we won't, okay, we can't. We can grow in it for sure, all right, we can grow in it for certain and everything, but there probably won't be a point this side of heaven that we're hearing 100%, all right. Just one person did that, his name is Jesus, and he died for our sins, and there's only one Jesus, and I'm glad that we don't have to compete with that, all right, there's just one Savior, and that's Him. Check this out, you may have seen this in the news this last week, 3 weeks ago. Amanda Eller felt drawn to go to the Makawao. I probably said that wrong. Lily and Akalia, I'm really sorry. They're probably going, he's crazy. Anyway, Forest Reserve on the Hawaiian island of Maui. I probably didn't even say Maui right. Anyway, to connect. She went there to connect with nature and get grounded. Okay, she not kids, not like ground. Anyway, she had rarely been to that park and hadn't been in months. And that day she just felt kind of called to go. So this 35-year-old physical therapist, yoga instructor, et cetera, she had a whole day to herself, and she figured she'd go for a 3-mile hike, spend a couple hours in the woods. And so she left her cell phone and everything behind just to kind of have some quiet time. Here's what she says. I don't really know what happened, she said Tuesday morning, speaking in response to reporters from a wheelchair. All I can say is that I have a strong sense of internal guidance, whatever you want to call that, a voice, spirit, whatever. My heart was telling me, walk down this path, go left, great, go right. OK, Okay? It was so strong. She said it turned out to not nearly as strong when she was done meditating on a log and she wanted to go back to her car. So she tried one path. It didn't get her back to her car. She tried another, no luck, and another. And she came to the realization that she was on a wild boar path, not a path for people. Okay? She says, at that point, I had no choice because everything looked the same. I said, the only thing I have is my gut. Okay? Hasn't worked out for her very well so far, right? Okay? She says, I don't have a compass. I don't have a cell phone. All right? And so she said, spirit or whatever it was, whatever. I said, I need your help right now. So she said she listened to her sense of guidance. And instead of that taking her back to her car, it took her on a 5-mile journey. And she ended up spending 17 days in the woods trying to get back to her car and then just trying to stay alive and catch the attention of searching helicopters. All right. And fortunately, finally, at day 17, some people spotted her laying down by this waterfall. She was just laying there. She severely sunburned. And fortunately, she wasn't really severely hurt. All right. But she was in real trouble. And she had been on the Maui berry and streamwater diet for 17 days, lost about 20 pounds. All right. And barely survived to get out of there. All right. Here's the point. The strength of the voice that we hear sometimes and how sincerely we believe in it doesn't necessarily make it right. And in fact, it almost cost her life. And it's kind of appropriate here. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each person that seems right. But it might be a wild boar path. I'm sorry. But it ends in death. Often there's a path in front of us that we think is right that can end in death. Now, the kind of difficult thing here in all this is this. There's a lot of really mature believers, theologians, that will tell you that we hear the voice of God way more than we will ever really understand in this life, where God is speaking to us all the time, on the one hand. And on the other hand, all right, we have a really hard time hearing objectively from God. Because we process it through some filters that really aren't of God. We process it through some natural thinking. We process it through our past experiences. We process it through our own natural capabilities and what we think might be possible instead of the miraculous. We process it through all these filters, and sometimes we're just way off. All right. And early in our marriage, I gave Suzanne permission to do this, and she's taken me up on it several times. Where I said, "Honey, I'm going to do the best I can to lead us in the will of God for our family. But I want you to know that at any point, you're welcome to challenge me and say, honey, have you talked to Pastor Phil about that? Maybe you should run that by Pastor Carrie. Maybe you should talk to both of them at the same time." And she's done that a few times, all right? And there's been times I had some ideas like, man, I think this is a great idea. And I thought, if I tell Suzanne about this, she might say, maybe you should talk to Pastor. I don't think this is that great an idea after all. We're very subjective, often, in what we think we're hearing when we come into the presence of God, especially when it comes to some of the big things where we're having some real trouble walking in faith. Real trouble walking in faith. And so then we start to pull the resources that are God's in the first place back to ourselves. We have a hard time hearing, going, man, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith and my hope in you. And God has really challenged us as a family in that when it comes to everything that we are, everything that we have. Our finances, Pastor Phil mentioned the 2020 campaign here not long ago. That specifically, just going, I'm really going to believe God. And I think a big part of that, you heard me say this, is I think he's trying to get us to come to the place where it's not just a financial thing, but a big picture. Everything that we are, every resource that he's entrusted to us, are we taking it before him and saying, God, what is it that you would want me to do as a steward of your resources? This life is, I am not my own. I'm bought at a price. And so, God, what do you want me to do with this life that you've entrusted to me? God, help me. We need help in hearing the voice of God along the way, all right? We need to understand that we are human. And I just can't encourage all of us enough to make sure that we are taking the time to submit what it is that we believe we're hearing to the proper authorities, the Word of God, which is our next point, men and women of God that can help us maybe look at things objectively. When we're struggling subjectively sometimes, we got to understand that we're human, and that's part of this whole process. Third, We need to be anchored in His Word. We must be anchored in His Word. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. 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 We're going, how do I hear God's voice? I'm struggling hearing His voice. Hearing comes by the Word of God. We've got to understand that. If we never heard the audible voice of God, or the voice of God outside of His written Word, all right, we would still be okay as believers. I don't know any believer that has digested this whole thing and is living life according to this whole book, all right? None of us has this down. And if you could introduce me to anybody who has this whole thing down, then I would be finally meeting Jesus in the flesh. And that'd be really cool. I'd be like, Jesus, it's good to see you. You know, none of us have this down, and just the written Word. And we become consumed sometimes and completely infatuated and going, now I need the revealed or the professed or the proclaimed or the preceding Word of God. And He's saying, would you dig into my written Word first? All right. So three little sub points there. A, we hear His voice in His Word. It's a place where we've got to start and end. We hear His voice in His written Word. Pastor Tom mentioned this, and I'm sure it's a paraphrase, whatever, but I love this. He said this. I wrote this down in a conversation earlier this week. He says, are we seeking to hear what He is currently saying, or as we are seeking to hear what He is currently saying, let us not forget what He has already said. And we fixate on that. We're going, I got to hear what He's saying, I got to hear what He's saying. Let us not, and that's great. We need to hear what He's saying. But we've got to remember what it is that He's already said. We've got to remember what He's already said. We hear His voice in His Word. Second, under this topic of His Word, we get to know Him in His Word. We get to know Him in His Word. He reveals Himself to us in His Word. John 5:39. You search the Scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the Scriptures point to Me. The whole point of the Scriptures is not to give us eternal life, but to point us to Jesus who gives us eternal life. Jesus is revealed to us in His Word. We get to know Him in His Word, and that's such an important thing. He's revealed to us in His Word. All right. We get to know Him, and then we understand, we're able to discern better His voice as we understand Him better in His Word. A couple weddings yesterday, and so I'm just thinking about weddings and early marriage and all that kind of stuff a bunch. And Suzanne and I were talking about this. It's amazing. We're from pretty different backgrounds, all right? And when we got married, we had to get to know each other, and it was a process. It still is after 15 years. It still is. But it was a huge process at the beginning. We grew up very differently, all right? Suzanne's dad wasn't really around much, and her mom was an amazing woman named Teresa, and she was Mother Teresa in the flesh. You know, it's just kind of amazing, kind of profound. I look at her sometimes and go, I'm glad I'm not a woman because I can't live up to that example. She's a crazy, amazing woman. And she's a very giving, very loving person, probably over-nurturing. I think we can all that knew her well say that. It's probably true. She made Suzanne's bed for her every day, made her lunch for her every day in high school and everything. She said, honey, your job is school. Do a good job of school. And she did that. Okay. And which is awesome, all right? So a little bit of Suzanne's background and kind of how that was and everything, and again, an amazing woman. Now, my background is a little bit different, okay? I was one of nine kids, oldest boy, so I had a bunch of chores and all that kind of stuff and everything, and my background was a little bit more, you do what you're supposed to do, you do what's the right thing and all that, and you work hard and everything, and you'll sleep well because of it and all that, and you eat what's put in front of you and all that. A little bit of a culture shock. We were blessed to have the Schluter kids over this past week while their parents celebrated their 20th anniversary. Congratulations. Awesome. So I was serving up ice cream the other night, and I told the kids, hey, we have this maple thing, something from Tillamook's. Tillamook has got to be great. I don't know. And then this peanut butter chocolate chip thing. I'll give all you guys a little bit of both. All right. That's just kind of how I roll. We got eight kids, and they're all getting a little bit of both. And one of the Schluter kids goes, can I not have the maple one? I go, actually, you do have two choices, all right? You can have the maple and chocolate one, whatever, or you can have none. That's just kind of how I roll, right? And they're kind of looking at me like, oh. I'm like, and I kind of laugh, and I go, that's just kind of how I grew up. It's just kind of the way it was. My mom goes, we don't have a, I'm not a running restaurant around here. You know, if you don't eat when dinner's served and you don't like it, that's your problem, you know, and not mine. And so I apologize, Aaron and Sandy. I think that was the drama for the whole time, and I think besides that, it was pretty good. But anyway, that's what I did. All right. That's how I grew up, all right, and all that. And anyway, my dad, okay, believed in corporal punishment, you know, and there's a fine line sometimes, I think, between corporal and capital punishment. And he really believed in corporal punishment, and he would make... He would make us even, and poor P. Dan didn't have this privilege, but I don't think he was too young, but he'd make us go get our own stick, all right? He'd like, all right, it's time, and you need to go get your stick. And it was a huge dilemma, all right? Okay, so you're going, okay, I don't want this to be too bad, all right? So I'm going to go get kind of this light weenie stick, whatever, all right? And if you brought him a stick that was disappointing to him, it was going to be worse, all right? But if you brought a stick that, you know, that was like met his standards and everything, okay, you knew it was going to be awkward as well. This is a terrible dilemma for a small child. But my dad was actually amazing with this stuff because he never punished us in anger and everything. He really didn't. He really did an amazing job and did a phenomenal job of helping us understand discipline and all that stuff. He really did. It was not abusive or anything like that at all. I'm just saying, Suzanne and I grew up pretty differently. Okay, so. Mother Teresa, capital corporal punishment. All right. Sorry. Suzanne and I were having a conversation probably within the first couple months of our marriage, all right? And we just had this kind of major misunderstanding and kind of here's the direction that we're supposed to go as a family, whatever, all this kind of stuff. We're talking, trying to talk, and remember, and Suzanne kind of starts to shut down a little bit, you know, and everything and all that, like, this is kind of awkward, whatever, you know, and all that. Not used to conflict, that sort of stuff. And it wasn't like crazy intense, whatever, but it was a little intense fellowship a little bit. And so after a little bit, she goes, honey, I just don't think I can do this anymore. Okay. At that point, I didn't know her very well. Okay. And I'm a little bit more of a literal sort of guy. Okay, and everything. Didn't understand the emotions of a woman very well. I had four sisters, but they weren't allowed to have emotions. You know, this I was good. And so when she said that, okay, I don't want to say the word, okay, but I'm thinking she's thinking the D word, okay, right now. All right? I don't think I can handle this anymore. And I'm like, honey, we made a covenant. We made a contract before God and these witnesses. Don't that do us part? I'm serious. And so I'm trying to sensitively wade into that a little bit. I'm like, are you saying what? You know, and then come to find out, she's just going, well, this conversation is kind of intense. Can we take a little break? You know, whatever. All right. I had a lot of understanding that I didn't have at the time. I had a lot to grow in. All right. There's a ton about marriage and my wife and emotions and all those things that I had no clue about. All right. None. Really. And it was just kind of profound. This amazing, amazing thing. And it was my privilege to get to know her, to draw her out, to understand what's going on in her heart, to be careful about that. All right. To grow in understanding and all that and everything. It was a huge, huge, huge deal, all right? And now we have conversations, and I don't think we've had a conversation like that in at least 3 days. But if there's a conversation like that, I have context for it because I know her. In the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, we get context for who He is and what it is that He's speaking to us. And so I don't think I'm going out very far on a limb at all to say that if we believe that we're really hearing the Word of God, the voice of God, but we're not in the Word of God, then we're probably in error, probably in major error. Because here we have the objective Word of God where we get to know Him, His heart, His character, His nature. And until we have this filter written in our hearts and in an ongoing fresh basis and everything, and we really have no objective standard by which to measure what it is we think we might be hearing. All right. So this is the most important one. And then second, like I said, to run it by mature men and women of God. But we get to know Him in His Word. And I'm so grateful that I've gotten to know my wife better and I have context for any discussions that otherwise might have been a wreck for me before. And then third in this, His Word is the ultimate litmus test for hearing His voice, which we just touched on. His written word is the filter through which it all should pass. All should pass. And if it doesn't pass through the filter of His written word, then it should be discarded. All right, we've got this by which to measure it all. All right, fourth. We need to clear the air. We have got to clear the air if we're going to hear the voice of God. This is so huge. This has been the big thing for me this whole past week. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and in the earth. All right. We have a really hard time a lot of times just letting everything go, laying it all down, and listening to the voice of God. And you're up. Thanks, Adam. Cool. Clear the air. Do I need a handheld, Adam? Brandon with Carola. Maybe they're trying to make a point. Let's play another message or something right here. Thanks, Adam. Great. It was an illustration. So thanks, Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil's like, this is my first rodeo. All right. Jordan, come back. No, it's probably part of the illustration too. I was so incredibly blown away this last week as I'm trying to prepare for this message and talking about, you know, praying through hearing his voice and the incredible barrage of everything coming my way. It was unbelievable, you know, unbelievable. And part of it was because I finally started to become aware of it because I'm going, I'm talking about this and I'm researching this stuff. Okay, we got to make sure that we're be still and know, you know, and kind of tune things out, whatever. In the middle of reading that, boop, boop, my phone, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, I get that, whatever. And then, oh, okay. And then a phone call because something happened on the paint crew, you know, somebody dumped a bucket of paint on a car or something. You know, you're like, oh, okay, you know, we did that. Hey, cars get painted anyway. It's fine, you know, whatever. Whatever, you know, and it's on and on and on and on and on. And there's all these things going on. And it was a little bit of a full week with a bunch of stuff happening. And then, of course, as we all know, a lot of great things happening yesterday with graduation parties and graduations and weddings and all this stuff. It's just incredible. But in the middle of all, I was kind of going, man, this may not have been the best week for me to speak. There's a lot going on, you know. And I'm just trying to kind of clear the air a little bit. I'm just going, man, if I could just kind of clear the stuff off the plate here for a little bit and just kind of have it quiet, and then I could do some prep, whatever, you know, and all of those things, all right? We had a birthday party for Lizzie on Friday, and, you know, having 8 girls all under the age of 10 trying to out-verbalize and vocalize each other all at the same time, you know, hopped up on sugar, cake punch, and all that stuff and everything, and let's give them ice cream too. Yay! You know? I'm the dog and I are like, let's get out of here, you know, and we're done. Whatever, we're gone. I mean, all that. All right? It's just kind of the way that life starts to kind of go and flow and work a lot of times. In the middle of it all and everything, it's so funny what happens, because in the middle of all of a sudden I'm convicted, and I'm hearing God go, you getting the point yet? You know? You getting the point yet? You know, how you doing? Tuning everything else out. How you doing? I'm just kind of putting the phone down for a little bit. How you doing? Just tuning out the noise of the world and everything that's going on and whatever. How you doing? And letting me be God above every other thing and saying nothing else is going to get in the way of my relationship with you, God, after this text. Excuse me just a second. I got to take care of this real quick. All right. You'll still be here, right? You're infinite. You'll never die. All that stuff. This person will. So I'm going to take care of them real quick. What? Hopefully they'll die soon. Are you serious? You know, all this stuff. I'm kidding. You know, it's amazing what happens. Seriously, I'm going, wow. And what God was speaking to me and the mess that he was making to me and the whole thing wouldn't have happened without all that other stuff going on. He said, would you just be still and know that I'm God? You know, there's over and over again, I look at this stuff and I'm convinced more and more that there's a reason that we have the word of God. And it's because we just get sidetracked. We forget about the things that are so important, and we need to take deliberate action to go the places that God is asking us to go. He doesn't say, hey, just kind of give it a pause for just a second, all right? Be a little more still than you are. Be a little less busy than you are. He's saying you need to break away completely. Be still. 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 And know that I'm God. Sometimes I have a hard time sleeping at night without white noise. Okay, that's me, you know. And like if it's really quiet, you're like, this silence is deafening, you know. I need something going on. We're insecure. We reach for our phones. We go, what's going on, whatever, you know. And it's become a security blanket, all this stuff. We have a really hard time. We have to clear the air so that we can tune in God, which is point number 5. Tune in. James 4, 7 through 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We are so often double-minded. We're torn between the busyness and everything we got going on around us and going on. I so desperately want to hear from the voice of God. I need to take care of all these things, but I need God. And we're double-minded. We're like, I'm over here, but then I'm over here. If I get all the stuff on my phone, then I can take it all with me and I can be both places at the same time. And I don't really have to be still and know that He's God. I can spend time in His presence and be I'm a multitasking quiet time person. All right. I'm gifted that way. I can do this. And God said, no, you're double-minded. And He says, draw near to God. And here's such a beautiful promise. And He will draw near to you. And we're going, I'm not sure what's going to happen if I draw near to Him. What if I do let go? What if I do let go? What if I do put it down? What if I do silence my phone? What if I do forget about all this stuff for just a little while and everything? Then what's going to happen? And God says, I will draw near to you. Your double-mindedness is going to be gone. You'll be single-minded. You'll be focused on me. And all of a sudden, everything's going to change. Number six, we need to ask. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A lot of us are familiar with this scripture. It tells us how we're supposed to come with thanksgiving. You know, we have a really hard time if we're coming before God asking and we're demanding. All right? And we're demanding. So my pet peeves in parenting is the demanding child. You know, if somebody's like, I want it. I'm not the guy to go, oh, okay. You know, placate. The kid in the store, right? The checkout line grabs the gum with both hands and the parent's like, okay, we got to get him out the store. We'll just buy the gum. You know, I've been the parent sometimes, hey, I'll just buy the gum for you guys. You know, you just go, I'll get your groceries. Just go. You know, this guy, you know, right? When all that's going down and everything, that's what we're tempted to do a lot of times. All right. But we're supposed to come before Him with thanksgiving in our heart. It is unbecoming of a Christian to come into the presence of God with anything besides thanksgiving in their hearts. And a lot of times we come demanding. A lot of times we come like that child going, I want it. I want it. And we all go through that. I read this morning about a pastor in Charleston, West Virginia, who's been blind for 14 years. Similar problems to what I've been going through, only it led him to be blind in both eyes. Miraculously healed. He had real pain in his left eye and his cataract was a problem and the lens was rupturing, whatever, all that stuff. He took him into surgery, took it out and everything, put a patch on his eye. And we took the patch off a couple days later. He's like, 14 years, he hadn't seen a thing. He walked into the living room and goes, hi, honey. Man, I can't even imagine. His first message that he did just the other Sunday was about Jesus healing the blind man, right? Naturally, all right? You're like, you know, you talk about just the perfect little pitch, you know, and just like, here it comes, you know, hit it, gone. But you see that stuff sometimes. I was talking to Jody Anderson about that this morning, and you just go, and you're just tempted to think, if we're honest, maybe if you're much more spiritual than me, whatever, you don't think the stuff, but you go, God, are you going to do that for me? And He swings me back. I have the honest moments with God. Right? He swings me back, and I think, if I were to come into the presence of God demanding of anything, I would be a very, very, very small man. Because if I just take a few moments to count the blessings that He's poured out in my life, I can come into His presence with thanksgiving. And then I can ask for anything and demand nothing. We've got to let our requests be made known to Him. I think a lot of times we don't ask, and so we don't even know if God's answered our prayers. We don't even ask, and so we don't know that He's answered our prayers. You have a prayer journal someplace to write that stuff down. The first word of knowledge that anyone ever had for me, I was walking in the parking lot there, the ball of some young man's left foot is bugging him, whatever, and I'd been in the parking lot an hour before that going, it'd be cool if you healed that, God, and it was such a pathetic ask, but God healed it that morning, and I knew, wow, I sort of barely, kind of weak sauce asked, and God heard my prayer and met me, and I thought, He knows my name. He sees me. We need to ask without demanding, but with thanksgiving in our heart. 7, listen. Revelation 2:29. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what He is saying to the churches. We've got to listen. I think a lot of times we're a lot more like this quote that we read in our, as we circled up as a staff a couple of days ago, Edgar Winston Howe. No man would listen to you talk if he didn't know that it was his turn next. Wow. I don't know if he was saying that to a specific person or to the human condition. You know, I don't know. But you look at that and you go, man, how true is that? And sometimes I wonder if we come into the presence of God the same way. It's like, okay, I'm going to listen a little bit. All right, whatever. Okay, but I got to get this stuff out to God, whatever. And we're not really doing a good job of listening. Listening is a discipline. Listening is a discipline that we all need to grow in. We got to be still, pause, come demanding nothing, come with thanksgiving, and just listen. Slow down, be still, and know that He is God. Moving quickly. Number 8, we've got to obey. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. We're like, hey, if I just get that, that's great, right? And he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. We fixate on that 5% that we haven't heard. But he's saying, would you be doers of my word? If we obey, we're faithful in little, we'll be faithful in much. And it continues to grow. And then 9, last, as you wrap this up, back to our first point in the whole beginning of this whole thing. It's so important. Remember the point. The point is relationship with God. Revelation 2:4-5. Talking to the church in Ephesus. And he says, you're doing all these great things. But then he gets to verse 4 and says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. It's amazing what comes from kids and the mouths of kids. And like I said, we had weddings yesterday, and we sat down last night to get into the Word of God as a family. We're reading from Matthew 5, and it's talking about vows. And we just had the vows from weddings, right? So the kids make the connection, and they're thinking about this. And Judah says, Dad, what the wedding today, they made those vows. And so, like, you're supposed to keep them, right? I'm like, well, yeah. I'm like, where's he going? I'm like, can I call a pastor friend? You know, I'm like, I tell you what, sometimes my kids just train wreck me when college students don't. You know, college students are like, well, you know, let's just have some popcorn. And the kids are like, wait a minute, you know. And it can be profound. And he goes, well, but, and Judah says, but those are a big deal. You know, and did they really mean it? And I'm thinking back to the vows, you know, and Joseph and Claire got married yesterday. It was beautiful, beautiful. But there were some profound things in the vows. Like Claire vowed to laugh at Joseph's jokes. I'm thinking, this gutsy right here. This gutsy. The follow through here is not going to be easy. Right? Got a sense of humor like mine. I'm like, yeah, my wife doesn't laugh at all my jokes, and that's okay. But in the heart of a child, there is this little understanding as we're reading the Word of God that vows are important. And are they really going to keep them? And I was looking at this in Revelation, thinking about that, where he says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent, do the first works. You have left your first love. The point of this whole thing is relationship. The point of this whole thing is relationship. Do you guys have the Superman pics back up here again? Okay. So the guy on the left, that isn't even the 1953 pick, all right? But you can see there, just, I mean, where's the Kevlar, right? Where's the abs? I mean, there's no abs there. He has an ab thing, all right? Underwear on the outside, all that stuff, all right? And completely inadequate for today's graphically literate culture, all right? On the right, we're like, that's what I'm talking about right there, all right? That's amazing. But in 1953... We saw that preview earlier. It says, thrilling adventure, spine-tingling mystery. All right? And Pastor Tom's over there, hey, it was. It was. And I was praying through that this morning, looking at this in Revelation, and thinking about, for those of us who have been walking with God for any length of time, remember when you first gave your life to Him? You repented of your sins. You wept someplace at an altar or wherever, and you were so delighted, so thrilled, so incredibly overwhelmed to be forgiven of your sin and reconciled, ransomed, redeemed, a relationship with your Maker. And it was thrilling adventure and spine-tingling mystery. And then I think life happens and life gets kind of interesting and we get going and everything. And it takes a little more to get our attention, a little more to get our attention, and a little more to get our attention until we're going, look, if I don't see abs, if I don't see the perfect suit, if I'm not seeing Kevlar, if I'm not seeing great graphics, it's not worth watching. And I was so challenged with that during this whole week and the process of all this, as I'm realizing that it's sort of like we're saying, God, it was great in the beginning, okay? It was great. It's great. But now things are different, all right? My life's gotten busy, and it's your fault, even, all right? It's your fault. You did it. And yeah, they're your blessings and everything, but it's just harder now. Or I need more now, all right? If I'm going to show up, you're going to have to do something more. It was thrilling adventure. It was spine-tingling mystery, all right? But God, it's just different now. I don't know. Where are you? I don't know. Yeah, you've got to get my attention somehow. It's just different. Where are you? It's on you. You do it. It's your fault. And he's saying, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. There's a time when just grace and mercy were enough. Were enough. And somehow in the equation, we got to the place where we just needed to see this blessing and this blessing and this miracle and this move or whatever, or somehow it wasn't adequate. Somehow we're missing out on something, and we've got to get back to the main point of the whole thing, and that's relationship with Him. We've got to draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. And so this morning, as we get ready to partake of communion, let's let it bring us back to the place where the sacrifice of Jesus is all that really matters. Where we can sing the song of the redeemed and just say, thank you, Jesus. It doesn't have to be packaged the way that maybe I prefer it to be packaged sometimes. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You've already did it. What you did was enough. God, it's enough. God, I'm coming before you with thanksgiving. God, I'm laying down demandingness. And there's going to be some ask here and there, but I require nothing. You did it all. You did it all. It's finished. The price is paid. Thank you, God. Jesus, as we partake of communion this morning, we remember what you did for us. Your body broken, your blood poured out. You paid a price that we owed and we couldn't pay it. We couldn't do it. And you did it for us. And we thank you, Jesus. We affectionately remember, profoundly remember, with gratefulness remember. You're all we need. So we cleanse our hearts and our hands. We lay aside double-mindedness and we fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you've done, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So come partake when your heart's ready, and just partake as soon as you're ready, and thank Him for who He is and what He's done. Amen.